as our church family is grieving with our precious family, the Carson family, and we see them out here this morning and in the midst of their grief, worshiping God, being here with their spiritual family, and we our hearts and minds are with them with the loss of our dear sister Jamie. And I know you'll want to continue to love and support this family. And as Paul simply says, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. And love endures, love is faithful. And Jamie was indeed faithful to her Lord. And so we look forward to celebrating her life tomorrow and comforting this family. We do want you to be aware of that, that teacher's appreciation dinner that's coming up a week from this coming Wednesday, July 1st. We'll have we won't have any children or adult Bible classes. We'll have a meal at 6 o'clock, and so then we'll have a special presentation at 7 and there in the gym. And so we did this kind of similar for our veterans a couple of summers ago. So we want to really reach out. So if you are a teacher in our congregation, past, present, we want to honor you. We need some pictures of you. I've gotten a few, but I need to round them up this week. So help us out there. Get a good fun picture. Maybe a child could help us. Maybe your mom or dad was a teacher. Slip in there and get a picture when they're not looking and send it to me. And we want to enjoy that evening. That'll be a week from Wednesday, a teacher's appreciation banquet, fellowship. And so be thinking about that. Invite a teacher that you know, as our theme this summer for the summer series is like a good neighbor. We want to honor those that serve in our community in that capacity. And so that evening, again, we'll have the special presentation. And Jerry Buchanan will be saying a few words on behalf of what teachers mean. So you'll enjoy that evening on July 1st. Well, happy Father's Day, right? We want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And we just love you and what you mean in our lives and to the lives of your family. They just you're just such a blessing to so many of us. I've read some of the late Irma Bombeck's poems and Mother's Day columns that she would often write about. Well, she did a few on Father's Day, and this was kind of one that she had done one year on when God was creating mothers. She did another one on Father's Day as well, when God was creating the father. And it's this conversation with her vivid imagery of God with the angels talking as He was creating. When the good Lord was creating fathers, He started with a tall frame. An angel nearby said, "What kind of a father is that? If you're going to make children so close to the ground, why would you put fathers up so high? He won't be able to shoot marbles without kneeling, tuck a child in bed without bending, or kiss a child without a lot of stooping." And God smiled and said, "Yes, but if I make him childlike size, who would children have to look up to?" And when God made a father's hands, they were large and clumsy, and the angel shook his head and said, "Do you know what you're doing? Large hands are clumsy. They can't manage diaper pins, small buttons, rubber bands on ponytails, or even remove splinters caused by baseball bats." And God smiled and said, "I know, but they're large enough to hold everything a small boy empties from his pockets at the end of a day. Yet small enough to cup a child's face in his hands." And then God molded long, slim legs and broad shoulders. And the angel nearby said, "Boy, this is the end of the week, all right. Do you realize you just made a father without a lap? How is he going to pull a child close to him without the kid falling between his legs?" And God smiled and said, "A mother needs lap. Father needs strong shoulders to pull a sled, balance a boy on a bicycle, hold a sleepy head on the way home from the circus." God was in the middle of creating two of the largest feet anyone had ever seen when the angel couldn't contain himself and said, "That's not fair. Do you honestly think those large boats are going to dig out of bed early in the morning when a baby cries, or walk through a small birthday party without crushing at least three of the kids?" And God smiled and said, "They'll work. You see, they'll support a small child who wants to ride a horse, or scare off mice in a summer cabin, or display shoes that will be a challenge to feel." God worked throughout the night, giving the Father few words, but a firm, authoritative voice, eyes that saw everything but remained calm and tolerant. Finally, almost as an afterthought, he added tears. The angel turned to the angel and said, "Now are you satisfied that he can love as much as a mother?" And the angel was quiet. We think about our fathers, we think about the role of dads and men, especially. You know, this kind of ties a little bit into what we're taking a break in our series on churches and the shape of Scripture. And last week we talked about the role of men, really. And we talked about women, and we talked about the issue of men being the spiritual leaders of their family and of the church. And so this morning I want to kind of pause from that series, and we'll come back as we think about the role of women in the assembly and what we believe and practice here. But we're talking about that role of men being the spiritual leaders, and fathers especially this morning. We're thinking about you. You know, in 1960, the number of children living in fatherless families was fewer than 8 million. Over 50 years later, that number has risen to over 33 million. Half of the children in America today do not live with their fathers, biological fathers. Among that number, 30% of fathers who live away from their children do not see or talk to them in at least only once a year. You know, we can talk about a number of society's problems and struggles that we're facing as a country, but one of the biggest factors is right here, the absence of male leadership in the family, in the home. When you combine that with illegitimacy, irresponsibility, abandonment, divorce, you know, it has left a high, incredibly high-rising number of single female heads of households. And most of these women are doing incredible jobs, having to fill both shoes, if you will, in the home. But this is having devastating effects on our society, and especially the absence of a father on boys. We're seeing that effect in among young men, especially. You know, 2 years ago, our president, President Obama, gave a speech on Father's Day that I thought was just out of this world. It was right out of the ballpark. He nailed it. And he talks about this, and he says, "Father's Day reminds us parents that we have no more solemn obligation than to care for our children. But far too many young people in America grow up without their dads, and our families and communities are challenged as a result." And he speaks from experience, our president does, because he says his father, he grew up without his father. "I say all this as someone who grew up without a father in my own life. He left my family when I was 2 years old. And while I was lucky to have a wonderful mother and loving grandparents who poured everything they had into me and my sister, I still felt the weight of that absence. It's something that leaves a hole in a child's life that no government can fill." You know, a few weeks ago we talked about one of our distinctions in Churches of Christ as a church is that we believe and we have elders who shepherd this local congregation. That's the biblical model we talked about. They oversee, they spiritually look after this congregation. And you know, I want to kind of just take that and play on that idea as I think about how fathers are to be the spiritual shepherds of their family. They are to be the spiritual shepherds of their family. You know, fathers and husbands, we talked about last week, they are to be the head of their family. And we talked about headship last week. If you were here, we talked about that issue of women submitting to their husbands. And we talked about what it does not mean. It's not a right to be lorded over, we talked about. Christian men understand that them being a head is, it's not a right. It's not a, "I'm the boss, I'm in charge." It's understanding that they are the spiritual leader of their family. They feed, they protect, they love, they nourish, they cherish their family. Paul in Ephesians 5 there in 28 and 29 says, "Husbands are to love their wives." This headship is involved in loving your wives as Christ loved the church. And he talks about fathers are to nourish and cherish as their own bodies, their wives. And children, he brings them in there as well. Paul in Ephesians says they're to be brought up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Christian men, fathers, husbands, we are the spiritual shepherds of our family. You know, we understand that when it comes to physically. I know very, you know, most dads that I know, most men that I know, we take that serious. And I know men and I know dads and husbands that work two jobs. And they're trying to provide for their family. They're protecting their family. They wouldn't do anything to put their family in danger physically. They wouldn't neglect or abandon their children. But I want us to realize this morning that just as important and maybe even more important than that is that we need to do spiritually for our children and families what we do physically. We need to be the shepherds of our homes. And by extension, we know also the church, as we're talking about that a little bit in our recent series as well. You know, Jesus is described in John chapter 10 as the good shepherd. Remember that in John 10? And he goes on to say, I am the door. You know, those are not two different metaphors. In ancient days, what they had, and you can still see some of these over in Palestine, they had these sheepfolds that they would have out on the fields made of this semicircle of stone. And you can see here that the shepherd would put the sheep here at night in the sheepfold here. And he would literally lie down at the front of the door, the entrance. And so that's the imagery there Jesus is saying is, it's not, I'm the good shepherd, and then a different metaphor, I'm the door. This is the imagery that he's saying. I lay down in front of the door. I protect the sheep. I feed, I provide for the sheep. And that's what spiritually we need to be doing as fathers, as Christian men, leading our family. You know, I love the scripture in Joshua 24. You know this verse, probably a lot of us. Maybe you have something in your home that has this scripture. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. Joshua is an old man. He's 110. He's talking to the children of Israel. He's about to pass away, and you have this new generation. He's reminding them about who God is, what God has done for His people. And notice he makes a declaration when he gets to the end of this speech, a challenge, if you will. And he says here in Joshua 24, 15, now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors, who they worship beyond the river, Euphrates River in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. Then he gets personal and he says, but I'm going to tell you, the decision's already been made in my family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's that declaration. That is a spiritual shepherd. Joshua there says he's committed. His family is committed to the Lord. You know, again, so many fathers have cast aside that responsibility as leaders of their families. And we're seeing that in so many ways. We know that. And its effects are just devastating. The Christian Chronicle had an article online where they were talking about a gentleman who works in New York City, one of the public schools there, Harlan Penn. And he's in Springfield Gardens there. And he works as a teacher in New York City. And he was talking about there that in every case in New York City, the children of immigrants do far better in students than kids, families who've been there for generation after generation. He says, you want to know why? Most immigrants have fathers in the home. He says, fathers, mothers, working together as a team, raising their children. He says, that's what he sees in our largest city. In the United States. And that just flows down into every small town, every city in America. That's what we need. We need men, fathers, husbands, who will be those kind of spiritual leaders for their families, in their homes, the spiritual shepherds. You know, we often, And I love this quote here. It's an old quote from C.S. Lewis, and he was kind of a deep thinker, and sometimes you got to kind of have a dictionary when you read his writings. But he talks about this in generations ago. He talks about it in his book, The Abolition of Man, and he talks about the operation of. He talks about this book, the Green Book, and it was a book that was dealing with moral relativism, advocating moral relativism. You don't teach right and wrong. There's no one way, right and wrong. And he talks about it's producing men without chests. I love that, how he describes it. A preserving devotion to truth. A nice sense of intellectual honor cannot long be maintained without the aid of sentiment. It is not excess of thought, but defect of fertile and generous emotions that marks them out. Their heads are no bigger than the ordinary. It is the atrophy of the chest beneath that makes them seem so. And all the time, such is the tragic comedy of our situation, we continue to clamor for these very qualities we are rendering impossible. He says you can hardly open a periodical without coming across the statement that our civilization needs more drive, more dynamism, self-sacrifice, creativity. He says in a sort of ghastly simplicity, we remove the organ and demand the function. We make men without chests and expect them the virtue and enterprise. We laugh at honor and are shocked to find traitors in our midst. We castrate and bid the geldings or the animal, the horse, to be fruitful. We need spiritual men, men with the love and the commitment to truth in God's way. We need some men, Harry says, who have that chest, that strength in them. One of the most important things we can do as men, as husbands, as fathers, is to teach our children in the Lord. You know, this is the call of Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." And then Colossians, kind of the sister epistle, kind of says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged there." There as he first warns them about, don't be overly harsh. Don't be overly bearing. Don't produce anger in your children. That's not the goal of discipline and training. We want to bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. The word there, bring them up, is a nurturing word. It's a word that refers to producing a climate of growth and development. Children are to be brought up in the Lord. They're to be instructed in the Lord. It's a word there, discipline, that means the tutorage. Education by training. Disciplinary correction. It's not just disciplining to punish. It's disciplining and teaching. It's correcting. It's training. And that's what parents are to do. That's what fathers are to be leaders in doing. And that's going to take time. We know men. We work. We do a lot of things. But the greatest thing that we can ever do is teach our children. It's to bring them up in the Lord. To train them in the Word of God. I love what Genesis 18 and 19 says about Abraham. I love the scripture that speaks about Abraham and the role that he was going to have in his family. God says in Genesis 18, 19, "I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." God gave that divine call or direction to Abraham. He was to instruct his family. He was to lead his family. He was to guide his family in God's ways. You know, what are we going to offer our children as men? What kind of education are we going to provide for them? Not talking about where you're going to send them to school and all that extra overtime money that you're going to save up to send them to college. I'm talking about what are we teaching our children? What are we teaching them about worth ethic, about values, about honesty, about integrity, about how to deal with our emotions? Because I'll tell you how most boys are being taught, especially how to deal with their emotions, is you just fight. You just punch it out. And there's some of us that kind of grew up in some of that era and generation. Lord knows I did a little of that as a young man, as a boy. But how do we deal with our emotions? How do we deal when we've been wronged? How do we respond when someone does push us, so to speak? Do we just punch back? You know, is that the mentality we're going to teach? I've had some Christians, even men, that's how I teach my boy, you know. And that's a good way for a boy to be killed. That's a good way for a boy to be down a path of violence and never being able to deal with conflict. I know sometimes we got to defend ourselves, but we need to teach our children how to handle conflict, how to handle things in a godly way, how to use their time, how to use their possessions, the value of money, all of these things. How about this one? One of the greatest things that we can teach and model to our children as fathers and as husbands is how to love their mother. How to love their mother. Because as spiritual leaders, as husbands, we are modeling that to our children, the Christ-like over His church. We're modeling how to love their future wives. We're modeling that. How do we treat the mother of our children? Do we love our wives as Christ loved the church, sacrificially giving for the church? That's what husbands are to model. That's what husbands are to demonstrate. They're to be a picture of Christ's love for the church. Our children need to see in us consistency, striving to live the Christian faith, not casually, not inadvertently, but daily. You know, we've said this before. I know recently, it seems like over the past couple years since I've been here, that what parents model before their children will have the greatest impact on their kids. Every study that's been done in church areas shows it's not the primary influence of the youth minister, as great as youth ministers can be. It's not the elders, it's not the preacher, it's not the Sunday Bible school teacher. It is always the primary impact and influence on a child is the parent. That's what they see. Because they can hear me, they can hear Sean, they can hear our elders, our Bible school teachers, and then when they go home and they don't see it lived out, they don't see genuine faith modeled, when they don't see moral conviction, moral righteousness, a commitment to truth and integrity, it just undoes everything so many times, what children see. Our children need to see us as men putting value and priority in the church. I don't have to tell you, as a fellowship in Churches of Christ, and even as a congregation, we have a shortage in this area. We need men to step up and be leaders. We need men to invest in the church, the work, the fellowship, the leadership of the church. This is not a time for men to step back and say, I'm not gifted, that's not me. We need men rallying around to the kingdom and saying, what can I do to lead? What can I do to serve? And that might be teaching Bible class. That might be making visits. That might be working up here at the building. That might be one day serving as a deacon and as an elder of this congregation. It's not going to happen by accident. It's going to happen when men make that commitment that they're going to put the priority of the kingdom and the will of God above everything else. And they're going to be the spiritual leaders of their home and indeed of the church that we believe that God calls the roles of men in that area. That's our prayer for us as men, for you. And we want to commend you this morning, but we want to challenge you as well. Be the spiritual shepherds of your family. Be the spiritual leaders of our church. That's why Sunday night, Tom mentioned, we had that singing night. Well, another thing we did that night was we got these young men up here leading songs, reading scripture, giving sermonettes. A sermonette, if you don't know, that's just a shorter sermon. I heard one preacher call that. That's for Christianettes. Sermonettes are for... Anyway. They gave these little talks. And we're wanting to encourage that and develop that. And we need fathers and men to lead by example and to encourage that in their homes and their families. If we give our children everything but God, if we give them a good education, if we get them, they find a good family, a good job, if they fit in with society, if they function in our world and they're able to accomplish great things, but we don't give them the things of God, we've really given them nothing for eternity. I want to read this as I close. It's a call for men to rise up. Rise up, O men. And it says, a father should love his children and seek to win their hearts. He should protect them, discipline them, and teach them about God. He should model how to walk with integrity and treat others with respect, and should call out his children to become responsible men and women who love their lives for what matters in eternity. Some men will hear this and mock it or ignore it. But I tell you that as a father, you are accountable to God for the position of influence he has given you. You can't fall asleep at the wheel. Truly, to wake up one day and realize that your job or your hobbies have no eternal value, but the souls of our children do. Some men will hear this and agree with it, but have no resolve to live it out. Instead, they will live for themselves and waste the opportunities to leave a godly legacy for the next generation. But there are some men who, regardless of the mistakes we've made in the past, regardless of what our fathers even did not do for us, we'll give the strength of our arms and the rest of our days to loving God with all that we are, to teach our children to do the same, and whenever possible, to love and mentor others who have no father in their lives, who desperately need help and direction. And we are inviting any man whose heart is willing and courageous to join us in this resolution. In my home, the decision has already been made. You don't have to ask who will guide my family, because I will. Who will accept the responsibility of providing for and protecting your family? I will. Who will ask God to break the chain of destructive behaviors in my family's history? I will. Who will pray for and bless my children to boldly pursue whatever God calls them to do? I am their father. I will. I accept this responsibility, and it is my privilege to embrace it. I want the favor of God and His blessings on my home. Any good man does. So where are you, men of courage? Where are you, fathers who fear the Lord? It is time to rise up and answer the call God has given you. And I say, I will, I will, I will. Man, let's have that kind of resolution this morning. I want to lift you up. I want to praise you for what you're doing, but I want to challenge you as well. We need you like never before in our homes, in this church, to be the spiritual men God calls you to be. To be the shepherds of your family, and by extension, to be the spiritual leaders of our church. This is our challenge. This is our call. This morning, we leave it at that, and we want you to know that God's invitation is for men, women, mothers, fathers, old, young, to do His will. And maybe you're here this morning, and maybe I haven't spoken specifically to something in your life, but you need to come to the Lord this morning. You know there's sin, there's struggles, there's been a lack of commitment to God in your life. And whether you're a father, a husband, a woman, a mother, a young person, doesn't matter. We never want to close without the invitation of God. For you to rise up and come to the Lord and say, I want to be what God calls me to be, wherever I'm at in life. Maybe you need to put Christ on in baptism, become a child of God. Maybe you need to ask for prayers of this church family. We would support you and hold you up as a body. This church will. I promise you that. If you have any need, come as we stand and sing.
Yeah.